Kia ora and welcome to Emirates Podcast, episode 250. Today is Friday, March 25th, 2011. We are reconnected. I'll tell you about that first today. I've got some updates on things that are going on and that sort of thing, and lots of comments because they sort of added up. But first, this is actually the third time I've recorded this episode, not that you'd know that. I first recorded it on Wednesday of last week, and then I re-recorded it Tuesday of this week, and now today. And the reason why all of that was going on, or the main reason why that is so, is because Wednesday morning of last week, our old internet service and phone provider was disconnected, and the new one was connected. Well, the phone was. The internet took 8.5 days to be connected, and I was complaining about it virtually every minute. No, that's a slight exaggeration, but not by much. If you follow me on Twitter or read my blog, you probably already know about that. And the problem, ultimately, we were right. The problem was with our local exchange. They had done some sort of upgrade or something recently, and it wasn't able to communicate with the new provider. It wasn't just us who was affected, apparently. But they got it sorted last night, and so now everything's up and running. So that's that. But to connect to the internet, I was either using my iPhone. I tethered my desktop Mac to my iPhone. Or I actually tethered my iPad to it as well at one point just to try it because I could. But that's a very expensive way of accessing the internet using cell phone data. And I'd already bought a stick modem for my MacBook so that I would have a way of accessing the internet if something happened to our landline. Because, I could go out and about and find free Wi-Fi somewhere. But, I needed to have something that was readily available just in case. Well, it came with 500 megabytes of data on it, preloaded. And that's not a whole lot of data these days. Web pages can take 5-10 megabytes of stuff if they've got a lot of garbage on them, as they often do these days. And so I limited myself to just checking my email, doing an occasional, as I call it, tweet and dash on Twitter. And I would post posts to my blog, which I always wrote offline anyway, so it's just fairly quick and easy. And that was basically that. That was all I did. And I didn't want to risk running out of bandwidth in the middle of this because it was on prepay, so I'd have to top it up. And it might run out one at a time when it was inconvenient to do that. So I was being very cautious. And so that's why I didn't post the episode from last Wednesday. At the time I recorded, I really thought that Nigel would just come home, flick a few switches or whatever, and then that would be it. I didn't realize the problem wasn't on our end. It was at the exchange. At that point, I didn't know that. And so then by the next day, I thought, no, it's not worth posting, so I'll just wait. And so I held off and held off. But that's actually the main reason I didn't post it when I recorded it on Tuesday. But the other reason is that I had planned on doing a special thing for Christchurch anyway. And I thought about it, and I thought it wasn't really appropriate to tack it on the end of a normal podcast episode, which is what I originally intended, because it didn't quite fit. And so I just dumped the rest of the episode and just redid it as that special about 4 weeks since the earthquake. And just posted that. But because it was so short, it was also a very small file, and it didn't use a lot of my bandwidth to upload that. And that's the real reason why I did that in that way. I had actually planned on doing more in that episode. I had a couple of actually lovely sound bites from the Australian Parliament, of all things, but that was about 11 minutes long. And by the time you start adding all that in and some of the other bits and pieces, it would have ended up being a normal podcast episode, and we would have been back to the bandwidth problems. So I just simplified it, and that's what I did. But now that things are back to normal, so is the podcast. Of course, the week before that, I didn't podcast either because that was my busy week of the month when I had the big project, and I just didn't have time to record. So obviously I didn't. And so that's where I've been for the past couple of weeks. Some of it was I was just really, 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 really busy. And then after that, it was technical issues or lack of connection specifically that kept me from being able to podcast. But I'm back now. Unfortunately, because I did the thing on Christchurch as a special, this still is the only real podcast episode I've done this week. So I still haven't managed to get two episodes out in a single week in, I don't know how long, weeks. But you never know. Now, while all this has been going on, I've also been getting a lot of projects done around the house, which, of course, Nigel's noticed. And he threatened to turn off my internet during the day. And I pointed out, as I did on my blog, actually, that I have found that the internet is not my only time waster, that there are apparently plenty of others, because I manage to waste time every day, no matter what, even without the internet. But there's actually something that's behind it that had nothing to do with the internet not being functional. And that is that, Nigel mentioned on his Third Colony show that we're no longer house shopping, we're no longer looking for a new house. And the gist of it is that what we're planning, okay, let's get down to brass tacks here, okay? I'm going to reach retirement age in roughly 15 years, give or take, probably more give to them, take from me. And we need to get serious about putting money aside and also getting prepared for that time. And so we've met with an advisor, and the plan is to pay off the mortgage in 5 to 7 years and get rid of all other debt as well, of course, and divert the money from there into investment to build up a sufficient reserve by the time we retire so that we can continue to live in the style to which we are accustomed, which isn't nearly as grand as you might think. But we are fortunate to be running a bit of a surplus at the moment, so we're going to devote that to debt and pay it all off as quickly as possible. And so because of that, it means, well, what are we going to do with this house? And I got to thinking about it. I thought, okay, well, if we're going to stay here, we have a few things we're going to do. We're going to redo the front gardens. Nigel's talked about that as well. And I decided that there are a few little things that really annoy me that I wanted to deal with. Unfortunately, they're small projects. Now, they're not at all exciting, so don't be thinking this is going to be a episode of some home show or something, because all we have this here's an example. We have this pull-out pantry thing. It's must be a better part of 6 foot tall, and it's got these wire baskets on these racks, and you put your herbs and spices and things in there. And it's always been an ungodly mess, totally disheveled. Well, I took a day and I reorganized that and got it all neat and tidy and put the herbs in all nice little bottles with little labels and stuff. Is that anal or what? And I reorganized the cupboard under the sink, which always gets messy. So, I mean, we're not talking about big, big changes, but there were things that were really annoying me and they're now dealt to. And yesterday I pulled everything out of Nigel's office and the wardrobe in his office so that I can reorganize that. And then next week I'm going to do my office. And once those are done, then I'm most of the way toward getting all of those nasty little projects done so that I've got more time to do things that I want to do. And so I can relax more. I can read more. I can do all kinds of things that I can't do right now because I have had all these little things hanging over my head. So that's what I've been doing this week. And it's just coincidental that it happened at the same time that the internet was out, because I would have been working on this anyway. It's possible that I might have worked a bit slower, but I don't think so, because I certainly wasn't running at a breakneck speed. I mean, my feet got tired from standing so long in the kitchen, you know, reorganizing that slide-out cupboard thing, but I certainly wasn't knocking myself. I didn't break a sweat doing it. Well, actually, I did yesterday, moving stuff around the house, but be that as it may. Now, there are some things that are in the news, rather, that I wanted to mention in passing. There was a story, oh, bloody hell, when was this? This would have been last week, I think. No, about 10 days ago, 11 days ago. And it was that New Zealand was found to be the best country in the Commonwealth to be born a girl. And it had to do with a whole bunch of factors that they worked into it, including political participation, education rates, and blah, 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 all sorts of different things. But that, I have to say, I didn't see that one coming. It was one of the more unusual little statistics I've seen. As you know, I like to call out the good things about New Zealand when it gets in the news. But that was one of the ones that I thought was among the oddest ones. There's been some other stuff in the news lately. There was a story about some researchers who found that 9 countries in the world, religion is fading, and that it will eventually die out in those 9 countries, and New Zealand is one of those countries. Now, I've talked several different times about different aspects of this, and I actually think that the study is flawed, and I'll put a link to my blog post about it in the show notes. And the main reason is I think that they've misinterpreted census data, and so they're drawing the wrong conclusion from the data. But nevertheless, they are right about how New Zealand is a largely secular society, because it certainly is. But now I am going to switch gears, and I'm going to go on to comments. But before I do, let's do this.
Hello?
Vera, hold on, I'm trying to get Arthur.
Hello?
Arthur, Vera, huge news. Pride 48 is moving this year.
Moving?
Where?
Yeah, not only where, but when. We're going to be September 16th through the 19th, and here's the big part, from Las Vegas.
That sucks.
It could be interesting.
Yes!
Oh, no. If he's here, I'm out. We're moving.
We're moving? Where? Why are we moving? Oh, music.
That's right. Pride 48 is on the move. This year, we'll be coming to you live September 16th through the 19th from fabulous Las Vegas. Mark the dates and make your plans to join us. Many of your favorite shows will be broadcasting from a single location with a live studio audience. Hotel and venue locations will be announced soon. Keep your eyes on Pride48.com and the Pride 48 Twitter account for more details in the coming weeks. Not all shows will be broadcasting from Las Vegas. However, everyone is invited to do so. Members of the studio audience will consist of podcast listeners and therefore may be subject to drinking, gambling, cursing, spitting, laughing, applauding, drinking, singing, eating, socializing, skipping, drinking, sleeping, burping, general awesomeness, and did we mention drinking?
I'll be at the buffet!
Yes, it's true. This year's Pride 48 is going to be broadcast live from Las Vegas, Nevada. And I don't know if I'm going to be there or not. Probably not. I'm assuming I won't be, but I am still the host this year. Which, I mean, somebody's got to be, don't they? But that promo was put together by Auntie Vera Charles from Vera Speaks for Real, who did a fabulous job. And it starred Auntie Vera, who was at the first, and then Daniel J. Brewer, then me, and Big Fatty from BigFattyOnline.com, and Vera's Conscience, and I think that's everybody. And, so that's the official promo for the Pride 48 event, which will be in September from Las Vegas. And, of course, I'll be talking about that more as it gets a bit closer and as more things are settled. Now let's go on to the comments, starting with phone comments.
Hello? Get off my phone! Get off my phone, you little pinhead! Get off my phone! My mind today.
We're sorry, the number you have dialed is not in service at this time.
Yes, I wanted to call your little show. I don't listen, but I had a question for you. This weekend we will be springing forward on the time as we switch over to daylight saving time. And I was wondering if in the future, where the seasons are falling back, if you will be moving from daylight saving time to regular standard time. Thank you for calling. Bye-bye now.
Well, thanks for that. And that was from Poodle McNoodle, who is a character from Big Fatty Online, from BigFattyOnline.com. And if you go there, for the love of God, use Big Fatty Online, because if you don't, your eyes will bleed. But yes, we are falling back, and that is on Sunday, April 3rd, our time, at 3 a.m., becomes 2 a.m. And that's all got to do with the extended daylight savings time. They started it earlier and ending it later. And so it's Sunday, April 3rd, we change our clocks. Now, you may notice that Poodle McNoodle referred very slowly and clearly to daylight saving time, because at Big Fatty Online, saying daylight savings time is a pet peeve, which is actually something I share. I don't like it either. So our daylight saving time ends on Sunday, April 3rd. And by the way, I've gone back to my original theme music for calls, partly because I like it, and also the losing my mind seemed appropriate for that call. But anyway, moving on to the next call, let's go do this.
Hello, Arthur. This is Roger. I just want to note that I was, maybe you've been busy, but I was surprised I haven't seen you blog at all about the Japanese earthquake in tsunami, if only in relationship to how it might affect New Zealand. I know that New Zealand is one of the countries that has come to the aid of Japan, and I don't know how close the tsunami waves came to New Zealand. I didn't read anything about it, so I assume it wasn't particularly problematic, just like it wasn't problematic in Hawaii. But I was sort of curious about this. So anyway, take care. Bye.
Well, thanks for that, Roger, and thanks for keeping my phone line alive for another month. No, the tsunami wasn't a big deal here. It was only the very northern parts of the North Island. I think it was like 15 centimeters or something from memory, which is like 6 inches, so it was hardly anything at all. Maybe 30 centimeters, I can't remember now. And it was nothing. But, of course, you did remind me that I needed to say something about that on my blog. And that happened at the very end of my busy work week, but the main issue was that my mother-in-law was staying with us at the time, and I was just really quite busy and didn't have time to blog. But I finally got to it, thanks to your prompting. Thank you for that. But now I am going to go on to the written comments. And this, of course, is for episode 249. And the first comment was from Nanuri, who said, "How odd that what you have described sounds so much like New Orleans after Katrina, and how sad that none of this is receiving any coverage in the U.S. media." Well, thank you, Nanuri. And it didn't actually receive much coverage here in New Zealand either, not until these independent people brought the whole situation in the eastern suburbs of Christchurch to public awareness. And then everything changed quickly. Although there are still parts of the eastern suburbs that have no water, no power, no sewerage, and it's more than a month, just in the Herald today. But most of the city, 95% of the city, has power and water. And as I was saying, sewerage is probably going to take a while longer yet to reconnect. And some of those eastern areas don't even have portaloos, let alone supposedly they're distributing all these chemical toilets for people to use, and there are all sorts of issues with all of that stuff. But I have to be honest, I'll save that for the next comment because it's related. But thank you, Nanuri. And Roger Green said, "It's sad but unsurprising that services are distributed by class. You heard about it in Haiti, where the nice hotels were getting more immediate assistance." That's true. But, and this is to both of your comments, I actually don't think that there was a class bias as such on the part of the government. I don't think they were saying, "Oh, we're just going to let those poor people fend for themselves." I think what it was more that they just didn't see it. They were blind to it. They just were blissfully unaware, if you like, about what was going on in the eastern suburbs. And it wasn't a deliberate attempt to drive the poor people out, as happened in Katrina. It was more of a just ignorance, total unawareness, total whatever you call it, of the real situation that was going on there. I certainly don't think they set out to do that. And the fact that they responded so quickly suggests, once it became publicly known, suggests that was more the case. Mind you, it's been now some time, and they still haven't sorted themselves out. The fact that there are areas that still are lacking basic services and that information is so hard to come by suggests that they still could do better. And I would hope that ultimately what comes of this is that lessons are learned about how better to manage an emergency of this sort. But I don't know. We'll see. But Roger went on, "But I was having a WTF moment over the cancellation of the New Zealand census. Aren't they supposed to count people where they are? What do they usually do when people are away on holiday or for business? Don't they get attributed to their home district? Or do they, like Mary and Joseph, have to trek back to be counted in Bethlehem?" Well, thanks, Roger, for all of that. And actually, we do have a Bethlehem. It's outside of Tauranga in the Bay of Plenty, in the northern coast of the North Island. Seriously. But no, the way our census works is that it counts every man, woman, and child in New Zealand on census night. If you're not in the country, you're not counted. So if you're overseas on holiday or on a business trip, or you've moved overseas long term as an expat, you don't get counted. However, all the people in New Zealand on holiday or for business or whatever, they are counted, whether they're from here or not. And that's why we have a census night when this is supposed to happen. I actually have heard that the cancellation of the census was illegal, that it would require an act of parliament to actually cancel the census, although they could postpone it. And I wouldn't be surprised if ultimately they end up
rescheduling the census for maybe next year or something. Because there's too much information that we get from the census to just dump it like that. Some of it they can extrapolate from other sources, but the wealth, the depth of demographic data, which is relied on by government and industry alike and just nosy people like me, it's just so important, and there is no other way to get that information. So I cannot believe that they're going to wait 5 years to do another one. I think that it'll just end up being an extra long gap between the 2006 census and the next one. But I don't think it's going to be a full 5 years before the next one. But we'll see. I don't know. And the final comment was from Hat M, who said, "Actually, I wasn't talking about strange stories about Tracy Tyler, but about the Chinese visit and the protection around it. By the way, I stopped listening in December to any entertainment podcasts because I wasn't in the mood, but I will check this one out." Thank you, Hat M. And yes, I have talked actually a couple of times, I think, about security around Chinese people, Chinese delegations, not just this most recent one as well. And yeah, check out Feast of Fun if you are so keen. I was thinking the other day that it's one of the few of the original podcasts that I listen to that's still podcasting. And although I actually don't listen to it regularly anymore, it's still going. Which brings me to my final topic for today, and that is that Monday is my podiversary. It is my fourth anniversary of podcasting. The first episode of the Airman's Podcast was published on March 28th, 2007, which makes Monday my podiversary. And I enter my fifth year of podcasting, and they said it would never last. But seriously, the podcasts who were my inspiration during that time have all stopped. Although one has restarted, Hello Waffles, as I mentioned before, restarted recently. So that's sort of I suppose that's an exception. But all the others have gone, and I'm still standing. That's it for me for today and for this week. Nigel is scheduled to do his Third Colony show this Saturday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. You can go to The Third Colony, all one word, thethirdcolony.com for listening instructions and so on. But that's at 9 p.m. Eastern on Saturday. And I'll be back next week with another episode of The Internet Gods Permitting, of course. That's it from me. Have a great weekend, everybody. Bye. You can leave a comment on this or any other episode of the Airman's Podcast at airmanspodcast.com. You can send an email to me at Arthur, that's A-R-T-H-U-R, at airmanspodcast.com. Or you can ring my U.S. comment line on 206-666-5172. This podcast is produced and distributed under Creative Commons license. Complete details at the website.